This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
We have our next guest on the phone with us. We've got Betty Sargent, who is an artist who is exhibiting a show called Experimenta in Tasmania. Welcome to the show, Betty.
Thank you for having me. Great to be here.
Our pleasure.
Now, Betty, I just wanted to start off. We just want get a bit of information about you, really. So we just wouldn't mind knowing a little bit about how you got started, with arts and sort of, what you've been doing, I suppose, up until now, even in the bridge version, but just a little bit of background on you. So when did you actually start? How did your interest in arts come about?
I think I've always been a curious person, and so it came from a place of curiosity, really. Some people say, you should investigate what you know or write about what you know, and I really feel like I look at the things that I don't know and don't understand, and that's what I really love about art, is it allows me to do this kind of deep inquiry about things that I'm curious about in the world.
Give us an example of what do you mean by curious in the world?
I'm really curious about how the world works, relationships between humans, science, biology, and the way the cosmos operates. And so I suppose my curiosity is when I hear something really weird, I think, well, how does that happen? How does it work? And I've got a job that enables me to look into that and understand that more fully. So it's deeply rewarding for me, and I try to translate that so it's rewarding for an audience as well.
Right. Well, tell us what your job is, because you are a doctor, overachiever, excuse me. What are you a doctor in?
In creative media, and so that's I've got a doctor in being an artist, really.
Right.
So don't call me for your broken arm, knee.
We guessed it wasn't.
You're not rolling out the vaccine or anything.
Yeah, you're not
step aside.
So what did you do your PhD on?
My PhD was really looking at, because my investigation within the arts is largely digital. I kind of bring together sort of digital and organic structures, around this curiosity that I have.
Yep.
And so it was really around the relationship between text and audio and visuals within digital work. And I should say that I collaborate with another artist, Justin Dwyer, and we work under the name Plug In Human, and which is a nod to the digital side of our work, really, and the way that our work, we collaborate with computers and digital systems to make the art we make.
Now, Betty, over the years, that whole digital world has just exploded, hasn't it, in recent time. How long ago were you dabbling in this? What's your feeling on how much? It must be exciting now with the development of that whole part of the world.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right on with that. It's a super exciting kind of place to be, because there's so many digital developments that are happening every day. And I suppose one of the things that's happening alongside that is that the digital is kind of making us less physical and less kind of socially connected. And so my interest is in how we can turn that around and use the digital realm to make us, more physically enabled and more connected to other humans. And I've been doing that kind of work for quite a long time, actually. I was one of the early adapters into the digital realm, as was Justin, who I collaborate with.
Yeah.
And so it's not a new area for me, but it's an area that's, the more the digital realm evolves, and it has this kind of exponential growth, it seems almost, the more exciting and enabling that is for, and also challenging for me in my own work as well.
Because, you know, like the computer, say 15 years ago, is very different to a computer now, and you know, like, but you are obviously working within that. You would have flowed with it and grown with it. But for people like us, who, you know, like, well, John's an actor, so he would have no idea about a computer, and Neil thinks he knows everything and knows nothing. So, you know, like, it would be really difficult for us to do what you do, but to you it must be second nature because you've grown with it.
Yes, but I think also with every project, if it's not challenging, like if it doesn't take me to the brink, then it's not worth doing. So as much as I'm really comfortable in the digital realm, like one of the artworks we made a brain-computer interface. You know, we enabled the audience to control the audio and visuals in this immersive light environment using their brainwaves.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
The investigations that we do, we really deeply learn every time. And if we're not doing that, if we're not sort of stretching ourselves, I kind of think, well, what's the point? Because you know, we've got this finite time on Earth to kind of do the kind of things that we want to do.
No. Oh, come on, Betty. You're making me feel even worse that I'm so dumb around all the stuff that you're really good at.
Oh no, not everybody does their own thing, you know, and this is just my thing. This is what I'm into, but everyone has their own input, and it's all valid. Like, no.
All right, don't patronise us. Laugh behind us. Now, tell us, what can we expect? What are you doing in this exhibition?
Well, for the Experimenter Commission, we made a light sculpture, which is basically made these 10 light sculptures that come together to form a unified sculptural piece. And these light sculptures are about 3 metres tall, and there's 5 of them, and they run on what's known as LED lights. And what we do with these lights is that we've taken data that we've collected from the environment, so from 5 significant ecosystems from around the world. So that involved travelling deep within the Amazon, in jungles of Panama, in India, Taiwan, and in Australia. We used, you know, you were talking about the size of computers. Sometimes we used like tiny things called Arduinos, which is sort of the size of, you know, maybe like 10 centimetres by 5 centimetres, and it's only a couple of centimetres thick, so tiny little computer. And use these, and it enables us to go into really remote locations and record data around climatic changes, changes in the soil, and changes that really affect those different ecosystems. And we use that data to control the lights. So we use that to create, I suppose, an emotional kind of light landscape that will hopefully have an effect on the audience. So it will make them feel something and feel, hopefully, some connection to these environments and an idea that environments are very interconnected around the world and ecosystems have this kind of interconnectivity.
So how, you know, like these the light source, are they, do you stand within it or around it? How does the audience, you know, like look at it and feel it?
Yeah, well, they can go around it sort of 360, and the sculpture itself is probably about 3.5 metres wide, you know, as I said, about 3 metres high and about a metre deep, and they can walk around that and within some of those tall lights that are sort of tubular shaped, because on the outside of these lights we have recycled acrylic, and on the acrylic we've printed images of microscopic qualities of these environments. So we've stuck some things that we've collected from this environment under the microscope and taken photos of them and then printed that onto the acrylic that surrounds the light.
So that forms a sort of the connection to those environments then. So if you're looking at the light sources, I suppose I'm just trying to work out how that connection with those environments go. But if you see a sort of a blown up version of what you would find in there, then I suppose that is how you get immersed sort of into that environment? Is that the connection you're aiming for?
Yes, in one respect. And the other one is through colour, because the lights, we can create all sorts of different sort of coloured environments. And these colours are really evocative of you know, what was happening in those landscapes at the time. For example, when I was in the Amazon, it was on fire. And it was the massive fires of 2019 in the Amazon. And so the main colour that we really use for that environment is red, is this sort of burning red colour. And it really speaks to the urgency of, you know, that super important ecosystem, being on fire.
And I have to ask you, Betty, but have you been to all these environments that you're representing then? So you've obviously travelled a lot.
Yeah, we did in making this artwork. It probably took us sort of 2 years to make the artwork.
Yeah.
And some of the locations we went to because we were travelling there doing another, you know, installation and another commission in that area.
Oh,
and
okay.
That's how we ended up in Taiwan. And
in
India, I was a part of a delegation from Asia Link, and I travelled to India, so it was on the back of that. But the Amazon and Panama, I did artist in residencies in both of those locations, and so spent quite a long length of time there and really was able to study these specific trees and ecosystems, and did audio recordings as well. So a part of the, you know, you were asking about, you know, how do you get immersed in this environment? It is through the microscope images and through the colour, but also through audio. There's an audio landscape that really transports you to these places because so there's this frog in Panama. And it sounds like, you know, when you're watching like a 1960s sci-fi movie and they have this kind of laser gun sound that goes, pew, something like this, like a really bad sort of sound effect. These frogs seriously sound like that, like, pew, pew.
Oh, wow.
And they've got a proper, proper Latin name, but everybody calls them laser frogs. they just sound like this kind of 1960s laser gun. So recording these kind of communications between these animals was really, with those frogs in particular, I really felt like I was kind of eavesdropping, like, you know, maybe I shouldn't be. Like, it's kind of felt, I'm sitting there at night for hours and hours, you know, in the middle of nowhere at a swamp, you know, recording these conversations between frogs. And I started to feel quite... like I was eavesdropping.
Yeah. in other words, you're like one of those people that you're sitting on a tram and you're listening into everyone else's conversations. We know your type.
Yeah.
All right. So here you are. You're down in Hobart. Experimenta is an amazing organisation, isn't it? What they do, like pushing the boundaries, like you do, and it must be very exciting for you to, like all the time and effort that you put into it, to actually exhibit something like this.
Yeah, and it's great to be a part of the Experimenta program, and it's fantastic that it's opening. At the Plimsoll Gallery in Hobart as a part of the 10 Days on the Island Festival.
Yep.
And they've put together, they've curated this collection of international media artworks for this exhibition. And I think there's 20 artists involved in it and covering, you know, ideas from robotics to bio art to screen-based work and immersive installations. And it's really exciting that Australia puts on this, you know, quite progressive program, really.
Mm. And so, Betty, the best way to find out more about it would be to go to the Experimenta's website. Would that be it?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's all information about, their latest show. And if people are listening from, you know, different places around the country, it's touring over the next 2 years.
Ah.
And so it's going to, you know, it's going to be travelling, you know, New South Wales, Queensland, Victoria, I believe South Australia, but of course, you know, pandemic conditions are changing all the time.
Of course. Betty, thank you so much.
Sorry, just before you go, Betty, just very quickly, how about any other works that maybe you're doing as far as Plugin Human goes? Do you have any sort of, sort of website or anything that we can look at to see what your next venture is going to be?
Yeah, absolutely. We do have a website, pluginhuman.com. And that's got all of our artworks on it and our current investigations where we're making lots of biopolymers, which are these sort of plastic-like compostable materials, so that we can move away from using acrylics and those more highly manufactured materials.
Okay.
And yeah, so there's all that information on our website too.
Okay, great. Thanks so much, Betty.
And we'll see you when you're here in Melbourne with it, or not.
Great. That'd be great. And thanks for having me on.
No, fantastic.
Our pleasure.
Thanks for your time. We've been talking to Betty Sargent here on Joy 94.9 Sunday Arts Magazine.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.